want to start with 2 Corinthians. Just a verse there that kind of, a couple verses that kind of got me thinking. 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians, first verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness, the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceedingly joyful in all your tribulations. For when we are come unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, were within were fears. I want to focus today on the idea of being dependent on God. Paul said that there were fightings out and were within were fears. You mean Paul had fears? Well, I'd say yeah, surely he did. He mentioned them here, and I felt like the Sunday school this morning, for those that weren't here, was really close to some of the things I was thinking about, because it talked about the necessity of the things happening to us that brings us into a keener focus and to a sharper experience by these things. And I can't help from wondering about the question of here was Paul's devotion was unquestioned, I believe. I think that his conversion was sound. We have the witness in the scriptures of his conversion from a zealot Jew to a very devoted Christian. There's no doubt about that, and the experience that brought that on the road to Damascus was profound. We have all that recorded, and yet with all of that, Paul obviously wasn't the perfect being. He obviously needed help all the way through his experience with God. He obviously, in every stage of it, needed help from God. He never achieved a place till he was free from the dependency that he had on God to lead and direct his life and to make him more like Christ as he went. All of these things. And here's a place where the Apostle Paul, in the labors for God, seemed to be hindered. It seemed like that God was allowing obstacles one after another. He went there to be a blessing and all these things, and he run into a firestorm of problems, of criticisms, of stumbling blocks, of persecutions, of sometimes it was actual physical painful things that happened to him. In all of these things where we would call it the miracle of God, that if the doors were just open, we want to see God in this capacity, that God working for us would make, as the prosperity preachers do, send me your money and God will bless you good. That's a lie, folks. Don't ever fall for that. It's amazing. I saw a thing recently of the top 10 so-called TV evangelists and the wealth that they have. And do you know that it exceeds the hundreds of millions of dollars that they have got from people just like as rich as you and I are? Send me you can afford 1,000. There's 200 people out there that can afford 1,000, the one guy said. He's preaching. And he said, I want to tell you that you can't outgive God, and if you send me, bless God, send me your money, and God will bless. If you're worried about something in your life, there's 200 people out there that can send me $1,000. There's 200 people out there that can send me $10,000. You want blessed, send me your $10,000. And people have fallen for that to the point that these people are flying jets and are living in $10 million homes and are doing all this and are still going strong with this message. Folks, that's a lie. That's a lie. You don't need to do any of that for God. God doesn't want you to do that anyway. God wants you to give Him you. God got a cattle on a thousand hills, and He ain't trying to make no preacher rich either. Paul wasn't rich. Paul done the work of God, and he never done it. And what he got, he said he distributed it to those that are around him. This was the man, the true man of God here working with this. And in all of his life, do you know what Paul maintained all of his life? A dependency on God. And the things that would draw away his dependency of wealth and those kind of things, he rejected those things that he might be dependent on God all the way through. And this is part of the reason why I want to try to get an understanding here, but Lord help us. There's a reason why God isn't just tyrannical wanting us. This is all about love. And there's a question of whether love is can be compatible with suffering. And I want to tell you that love is compatible with suffering. When the suffering is designed to bring better, to make better. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat die, unless it fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And this is the idea. Sometimes there has to be a pain of death to bring forth a more luscious life, a more quality life. And these things that take off the dependency. Paul left himself in the place of being dependency. We don't want to lose the idea of being, we are very dependent on God. So this is the way I look at it. When I was in school, I felt like, at least my own testimony was that I really labored hard and didn't understand or would not understand or didn't want to understand and didn't want to put out the effort to understand literature. I don't care what Shakespeare thought. I just never could really care what those authors did. I mean, and the poetries, the great poets, I'm more concerned about it now than I ever was, but some of the great poets and like Poe and some of them. The Raven was something in literature and you're supposed to diagnose what that. I don't care what he thought about that. I'm just saying. I was mathematically inclined. And all through my years of learning math, it was super easy. Right? It was super easy. And the teacher would say, this is the way you do it. And I would say, I don't need to do it that way. Anybody with an intelligence, I thought, can look at the number and tell you what the answer is. And I went all the way through up into high school with this idea that it was so easy. All I had to do was look at it and I could tell you what the answer was. Most usually, very little figuring of my mind, I can tell you what the answer to this problem is. And the teacher kept trying to tell me, especially in high school, you're going to need this. And I was going to say, I don't need it. I don't need that formula. I don't need to do that. I can look at this line of fractions and tell you what the answer is if it's easy to do. But the teacher kept saying, trying to tell me, you need to do this. And I remember one teacher actually said to me one time, said, Marty, it's a shame. That's what it is. It's a shame. Because he could look at my test scores and know that I had a particular mind for math and how fast I could do the test. I was always just handed in to him. And he always could look at the test and know I didn't get the answers to the questions that I needed to study the formula and know what the formula was. He knew I didn't have a memorization, wasn't working it right, and he said, it's a shame because you could really do this. And he knew I wasn't by my test scores. And you know what I found out? First semester of algebra, I got into algebra, and I said, oh, people's complaining about algebra. Algebra is so easy. I could just look at the algebra. This was not hard. You know, I run into the second semester of algebra, and I was lost because I kept trying to do it my way, and I couldn't do it my way anymore. It became complex, and my mind was spinning around, and I was looking, trying to do it, and all of a sudden, I realized that I was independent. I was going to do it my way. Here's what it is with the Lord. God has made us intelligent beings, capable beings. We're able to learn and decipher and learn how to do things and all that. And He made that as a natural part of us, that we can do those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you something. Life's going to present things after a while in our methods of dealing with life. And I've got the fortitude that I can put up with this and I can put up with that. And I can, you know how some people are easier to do it. And I don't understand people that are afraid of things. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know why people are afraid of snakes and spiders and stuff. I ain't afraid of that stuff. Why? I got a fortitude about things I'm not afraid of the dark. There's nothing out there in the dark. I'm not afraid of those kind of things. And I run my life that way. And I handle life. And then I run into things that's too big for me. And other people that are afraid of things and look at things, they get down on their knees and ask God to help them and get grace. And they get grace for it. And they go on and they learn how to deal with their problems with grace. And they have to depend on grace. And they do it with grace. And I go through it with my fortitude and the way I was raised. And I do it. And we both go through it to a certain point. And now I get to a certain point and my method isn't working. And I don't know how to get grace. This is what Paul kept himself in the position of, is that there's these things that God kept Paul in this position, that how are you going to heal yourself of the most poisonous viper that bites you? How are you going to do it now? Does eating the right vitamins? I mean, honestly, think about it. I kept my nutrition up. I've worked out every day, and I get bit by the most poisonous viper in the world, and my strength, I mean, I'm able to do it. No. The praying man says, God, help me. I've just been bit. I'm going to need help. God kept Paul in the position always that he recognized and saw, I can't do the gospel because I'm an educated man. He says that in Philippians. I counted it all dung. I counted it all as dung that I might win Christ, because you know what? Everything that I do and try to do doesn't work. Now we live in a time, and I'm thankful for it. We got a lot of benefits for the time we live in. Have anybody ever heard of a report or anything to where in our modern age they got CT scans? They got MRIs that layer you. It's an amazing thing. I had a technician, MRI technician. I sat beside him and watched him do it, and he explained the process of this. It's amazing that they come up with this. What it is, all the molecules in your body are rotating like clockwork. They work in a clockwise manner. And what they do, they give it a magnetic shock to your, you can't feel it. It's just one thing. And it actually reverses the rotation of the molecules, and then when they let off of that, they stop and start back in their process. And when they do, they put off an energy when they do it reverse, and that energy is what allows them to capture the images that they do. And they figured this out. Amazing. They figured it out, and they can do it at depths, and so they can actually layer through your whole body and look at you completely, everything through your whole body through an MRI. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I'm impressed. Whoever done that went farther in education than me sitting and saying, I know what a half plus a quarter is, right? Than looking at it. It took something. But when you look at all of these things and CT scans, and they can actually give you this chalk-like substance that glows up like it's all... Anyway, it shines out like it's radioactive or something in your body, and they can actually look through your system and all this. And then they got these X-rays, and they can do all that. And they know so much about how the mind works. They've studied it in dreams, and they know how the body fires off these signals for your heart and all of these things. Has anyone ever heard, in our modern time, have you ever heard these testimonies to where they keep trying to find the problem somebody has and they can't find it? Anybody? You ever hear them say, "We don't know what's wrong with this person"? Happens all the time. And you know what it is? People are really dependent on this stuff. It ain't going to keep you alive. I'm just going to tell you. It makes promises of better life and quality of life. And to some degree, I can say thank the Lord for it. But it ain't, you can't depend on it. It will not satisfy you any more than winning the lottery will. I know what you're saying. $150 million. $200 million. $1.5 billion one time. $1.5 billion. I said, man, that's like buying yourself an island. I mean, this is like owning the state. I mean, $1.5 billion in a lottery sounds like you'd be pretty independent. It could buy you everything you ever wanted, all the land you wanted. You can do all of those kinds. Can it buy you a new heart? Can it buy you a new relationship with somebody that's destroyed? Can it do all of those things? No. No, but those are the falsehoods that present themselves. There's a reason why the Scripture says the deceitfulness of riches, because it lies. It lies into what we think that it can do and assume that it can do. But right here in our modern technological world, that where the computers, they can send these little computers through your veins now. They can do it. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they're doing. I mean, they got drones, and now they got AI stuff that can mimic your voice, and they're building robots that look human, and they're doing all of these kind of things, and it's making our world, if there's anything that you can state about our world's problems, the one thing that is most paramount to it all is that we have almost totally lost our dependence on God. We think that we're God. I mean, humanity is starting to say we create, we do, we build, we keep you alive, we take an organ out of this person and put it into this one, and some of these things, I'm telling you, some of these things have helped, and but we can't deny those kind of things, but this is what it don't do. It don't go all the way. It never can go all the way. So the Lord, in His great wisdom to His people, will make you go to Macedonia and have no rest and be troubled on every side. And you say, I'm pretty good at handling problems, but not on every side. You know what I say? I'm wearing plumb out. Lord, I'm going to need a strength that I don't have. I heard a thing recently that spurred some of this thought. It was on Elon Musk. He's a pretty interesting fella. Anybody know who Elon Musk is? I don't think he's the rich. Maybe at one time he was the richest person in the world. He's one of the top ones, richest people in the world. And he was asked about praying, and he said, I don't have any need of praying. About reading the Bible, he said, I don't have any need of reading the Bible. He seems like a good moral person in some ways and all those kind of things. He finds no need in those kind of things in his life. He finds the help that he needs. He finds it in the professions that he needs, and he's got a good mind, and he's got a healthy body, and he works out, and he's not an old man, and he's in a certain place of his life, and I can make a prediction for you. He may deny it. I can make a prediction for you. His money ain't going to buy him everything that he needs. And he's going to run into a time sometime in his existence that he's going to find out that he's not as independent that he's want to be, and if not those things, I can tell you from a man that's aging that to some degree you become slave to this old body that you have, and you'll do what it dictates. When you think you can jump up, we had the privilege of going to Alabama last week, and I got to play with the younger people, and we played some basketball, and I played some softball games, and there was balls hit that I felt like that I could have caught behind my back that I couldn't catch in front of me, and I went running one time on a hit that I just thought I was going to catch good, and just almost the time, just before I got my glove laid out to catch it, my glasses dropped, and it caused a distortion in the ball, and I put my glove down, and the ball didn't hit in the glove. It hit on the edge of it, and I dropped it. And on the way to it, when I thought I'd run easy to get to it, my knees were stiff, and I couldn't run. I was running kind of stiff-legged, and I did go over there. And I want to tell you something. What you think about yourself, you become a slave. You're inside. You're renewed every day. You got a fresh mind and those kind of things, but the old body ain't. Playing it, and I'm kind of slave to this. I can't get another one. Can't go to Walmart and get anything else. It's not interchangeable now. The point is that we're going to be dependent. Lord, help us to learn our dependency upon the Lord. And so the Lord explained it this way in His Word. He gives us the illustration of children. Children are dependent by nature. They are dependent. And I think about my grandchildren at the place they're at now, because my children are getting old enough that they do something. But my little grandchildren and stuff, they're dependent on mom and dad. They totally dependent. If they eat today, it'll be because mom and dad fed them, gave them something to eat. If they're clothed, they get clothed by that. When they fall down, they're comforted by that. They're dependent, and the Lord give us this idea that we become like children, or that we should be in the mode of a child when it comes to God. He doesn't want a child of understanding. He doesn't want a child in tantrums. He doesn't want a child in a mentality. He wants adult Christians that are dependent like children to their Heavenly Father, because we don't have the capability or the capacity to live life in a Christian way and do what we're supposed to do by ourselves. We need to know what the formula is. We need to depend on the one that can give us the answers to our problems. Elon Musk is a man that has everything at his disposal right now. I still think in the terms of what I can make money at or what money's worth. He's made those kind of things. He makes decisions beyond my decisions. But he's still going to run into it too. And there's a scripture in it's not just Elon Musk. There's a scripture in Revelations to where the Lord says to these people, you say, this is their testimony of themselves. You say, we're rich. We have everything. We have need of nothing. We have need of nothing. And the Lord said, you said that you, this is your testimony of yourself. But this is my testimony of you. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're naked, you're undone. You don't see yourself, but this is what your ability has brought you to in your wealth of the worldly things and where you're sitting now. You look at yourself, if we got food stored up, our health is good, we have a certain standing in the community, we have a certain place. I go to service all the time. Lord, help us. I'm a Christian in this Christian world. I do all these things. But the Lord's all-seeing eye looked down on them and said, you don't even know this about yourself. That you're miserable and wretched. And yeah, you have a certain form of service, but you don't have a heart for it because you have no dependency on God. And you're trying to go through this world by your own decisions and your own ways. You know, sometimes a problem will arise. And I always appreciated Brother Sammons about this, because one thing Brother Sammons did was with problems most of the time, he gave them to the Lord to work out. Believing God could do what we can't do and do it in a way that we can't do it. And you know, a lot of times we're just dead set on solving our problems. We got to solve the problems and something needs to be done and those kind of things. And I know how to do it too. I know how to fix it. I know what to do with it. You know, when it comes to the dealings of people, we really don't know how to do it. We're dependent on the Lord to help us in our relationships with people and how to deal with people. Some people need a firm statement. That's just true. Some people just, that's the way they respond to just them. And you'll kill somebody else with that firm statement. You'll discourage them forever. God knows how to deal with it. There was a man in the scriptures called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a great man of the scriptures. He was over Babylon, and he of his kingdom, the splendor had never been reached before. They had built a great civilization. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of that, and they built great cities and great things. And when it was all said and done, by the arrogancy of his position and the place of his pride in there, he needed nothing. Everything that he willed of mind, he got it done. When he wanted to do something, he had the fortitude and the way to accomplishment. And when he got done, he looked and said, never in the world's history has there been a nation like our nation and a kingdom like this kingdom. And his kingdom was far above and superior to all kingdoms. Daniel said that it was the head of gold. The splendor had never been reached of what Nebuchadnezzar done. History, natural history, says that Nebuchadnezzar had a wife from a foreign land who longed to go back to her foreign land, and he didn't want her to go, and she was homesick for her foreign country, so he said, I'll bring it to you. And he built what was only history recorded some of it. They don't know really what it looked like or where it was at, but history recorded the eighth wonder of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, where he actually just imported the plants and imported it in, and they made a great garden of her land so she could go back to her land right in Babylon. And they watered it, and they fed it, and they done it, and he said the splendor of it was so beautiful in history that it was called like the eighth wonder of the world. It was an incredible thing, and he willed it to be so, to the point that he comes out and no need at all or dependency at all, and he comes out and says, look, according to the scriptures, look what my hands have done, and what a great man am I. And it displeased God. Why? God isn't just tyrannical. God loved Nebuchadnezzar, and he had set him in that position, and he wanted God, he wanted Nebuchadnezzar to say what a wonderful God we have. Because the truth of it is that it's like you get afraid and you run from the lion and the bear and you go hide yourself into a cave somewhere. And what gets you? A spider in there. A poisonous spider bites you and you run away from the lion because it scared you. And now you got bit by it and you're suffering and dying in there. And it's all the same. And if you don't die from that, you'll die of something else. Will get you some kind of mold or microbes or bacteria or a virus or something. And it attacks you and you get you. We're dependent on the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar did not realize that he was dependent on God. And so God said, Nebuchadnezzar, there's a fine line now between your sanity and your insanity. And here we go. Now see, and Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years wandered around the field and he ate grass like an oxen, and his hair grew out like birds' feathers, and he had his fingernails was like claws, and he wandered around like a madman, a completely destitute of humanity and everything. Can happen to you. It could happen to me. Until he knew God. And when he got through and he come back and God restored back to him, he knew that God ruled the heavens. He knew that there was something bigger than he is. In our living for the Lord, there is a value in thanking God for everything, and there is a value in our recognition that no matter what comes into my life, it comes into our life by the hand of the Lord. This United States have been blessed, and it was blessed because it was founded on some basic principles of justice and honor to God and belief in God. Folks, we went a long ways. We're not independent. We're getting that way to the people saying we don't need God. We don't need God. We're at a time in history. We don't need God. We got technology. We got all this stuff. We can entertain ourselves. We can do all that stuff. I'm going to tell you, it's a great mistake. This country is making a great mistake turning away from God, because we will always be dependent on God. What natural disaster could happen? Back in the 20s, there was a stock market failure that they didn't know about that virtually put the whole country into misery. It took a world war to get it out of it, actually. Are you thinking we're clever enough to stay out of that again? What would happen if something would happen until the economic system would stop, until the Dollar General truck didn't pull into the Dollar General anymore? What would happen when the tankers don't pull into Henry up your Parmar anymore with gas? What's the situation now? To those that are exercise themselves into being dependent on God, He'll secure your mind. I'll tell you that. God can make a way where there is no other way. Oh, I don't know. We might have to hook up a team of goats to pull our wagon down the road or something. But God will make a way. And when you find yourself dependent upon God, that's where you end up at. And where is everybody else that done it for themselves? We need to stay dependent on God. Devil has substitutes for our dependency on God. Money is, of course, one of the substitute. Health is a substitute. Ability, education, the technologies as well. These are substitutes many times for the dependency. A substance. Many people are on substances, to uppers, downers, things like that, to manipulate their moods. You know, a cigarette in hand can calm your nerves, and all of these things, all of those give way at some point and don't work. But Paul, in his dependency on the Lord, come down to his final place after snake bites and shipwrecks and being stoned and all of those things, and having his dependency. One scripture says our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. Our sufficiency, our abilities, isn't of God, or isn't of ourselves, but it is of God. And Paul, at the end of it, was so able to say with a clear conscience, I didn't hurt anybody. I stayed true. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. He was able to say that because he had learned the secret of dependency upon the Lord. And God, so I want to answer this question of love and suffering. The suffering that the Lord brings into our lives is his forever attempt to keep us dependent on the thing that works. He brings us, and then I remember when my first wife got sick and things was looking bad. I drove into the store up there and there was a Powerball, $10 million. And I remember looking at that and saying, $10 million couldn't do for me what I need done. That is a failure. That is a failure. It wouldn't work. If you handed it to me today, it would not change the situation that I'm in. Only God. Only God can touch some places in our life. Is it a true fact that those that have accumulated the great wealth are the happiest people in the world? Are they the healthiest? Are they the best? Do they prolong life by it? I don't know. There's some questions for you. If they do, it's microscopic and it don't last for long. So the Lord, in His working with us, think it not strange the fiery trials, which is to try you. Think it not strange when the thing comes that points you to say, pray more. Pray harder. Be dependent. That's what's going to really glorify the Lord, that we are dependent. Our lives are dependent on the Lord in everything. And as we, this last week, there was something that really touched my life. My little granddaughter was sick this last week and fevered off and on, and fevered low grade and then a little higher grade and low grade. And the next day it was still those kind of things. And we get a burden about those kind of things. And I felt pretty helpless. I'll be honest with you. It's a real burden of mine. That's my little granddaughter. And I know how the parents feel, because I've had 9 children and went through all those kind of things. And my prayers were sincere, I'll tell you that. And my need was high, and saying, Lord, please, we're looking to you. Have mercy and help. And help and show yourself in this. God wants to be a very present help in time of need. You pray for me.